This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that's hit deep to right. That one's on its way. That ball is history. Willie Calhoun with his first home run of the year.
All right, what are you looking... Willie Calhoun highlights.
Hey, now.
It is a storyline.
Man, this guy's working out. He's getting buff. RJ Choppy, you're going to have competition next week.
So, ratings-wise, the Rangers actually do very, very well in DFW, even though they have not been winning big as of late. It goes Cowboys, college football, Rangers, and then everything else is a distant fourth, fifth, sixth. That's the way it goes, at least with television ratings. And we've been fortunate enough to have a lot of Tolos stick with baseball. That's kind of the sport baseball is. You know, you can be 500, you can be under 500. If the Mavs are that, a lot of people are bailing unless you get Luka Doncic. And the Rangers, if you're a baseball lifer, you're a baseball lifer. Mm-hmm. I sit next to one every single day. I feel like Roy is starting to waver a little bit, but you are going to get that same excitement and optimism, even in DFW, when baseball season starts. So therefore, what are the Rangers storylines you are most intrigued by that you want us to cover since we're flying out Sunday to surprise? 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. Who wants to start it off?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing I am most want to look at and I want to see the most. So remember a couple years ago we wanted to see plate discipline from Joey Gallo?
Yes.
Chris Woodward kind of talked about this in his opening press conference very briefly. He said about Joey Gallo going the other way against the shift and beating the shift. Perhaps it's something he would like to see him do. Now, I waver on this, on what I really want Joey to do, or all players. Because if Joey Gallo just goes the other way all the time, you know, they're not necessarily going to stop shifting on him. Like, they'd rather have him get four bunt singles, basically, than have a 1-in-4 chance of ripping a home run, even though it's more like a 1-in-13 or 14 chance. So I still struggle with that. But I would like to see if there's two guys on and two outs that he would do that. Like, that's okay. You're trying to score a run there in that position.
You want him to bunt there.
Not necessarily bunt.
Yeah, go the other
but
way.
But, you know, and that's the thing. You can't just tell a guy in the middle of a season to do this. You've got.
But
this.
I thought you're not supposed to go for the, you know, one-run single versus the three-run homer.
Well, you're not. You're not supposed to play for one run. You're supposed to play for multiple runs. But with two outs, a lot of that goes out the window. You know, you're trying to scratch a run across.
Yeah, well, I don't think scratching exists. You know, you talk about averages in baseball. Yeah. The two-out approach is
the two-out approach
extinct.
Totally different now. The two-strike approach is extinct.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry, two-strike.
But, you know, the two-out approach still. But the thing is, you can't just tell Joey, hey, take a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and go the other way with it. I mean, that's something he has to sit there and do in the offseason every single day.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be opposite fields hits so much as it is an improvement on his line drive rate.
Yeah.
For Joey Gallo last season, yes, he hit 40 home runs, but oftentimes he also hit into a lot of pop-outs. He had a very extremely high fly ball rate last season. But in the second half, something happened from the first. Now, we've seen like these half, you know, half season splits from Joey Gallo before, so I don't want to read too much into it. But last season, his batting average on balls in play rose 60 points from a 228 to a 286, and his batting average rose from 187 to 239 in the second half, all because he started hitting the ball a lot with a lot more line drive. So sacrificing some of that home run power for perhaps a better line drive rate is also going to help him beat the shift because, you know, the surest way to beat the shift is to hit the ball hard. Like, that's really, I mean, if you can't hit it, if you can't hit it the other way, then you've got to be able to tag it, and Joey Gallo can tag it.
CBS Sports has Gallo as their number one make a leap candidate.
And can he lead the league in home runs? That's the other question. Chris Davis led the league last year at 48. J.D. Martinez had 43. Joey Gallo had 40.
Here's their write-up. Few players on earth hit the ball harder than Gallo. Last year, only Aaron Judge and Nelson Cruz topped Joey in that department by exit velocity. While Gallo led all of baseball in the frequency with which he smashed the ball on the sweet spot of the bat. The stat cast barrel percentage. Like, baseball has everything measured.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Now, he's obviously a strikeout machine, averaging more than 200 whiffs a season over the past 2 years while hitting a combined 207 over that stretch. And then they go into all these other, I'll be nice and say, measurements and all these other categories, and they basically have him as their number one breakout candidate from CBS. So you're looking for approach.
I'm looking for the approach. Yeah, I mean, obviously Roy's right. The line drives. So I remember watching an interview with Dave Winfield. This was back when he was playing for San Diego years and years and years ago. Ground balls are easy outs. Fly balls are easy outs. 7 out of 10 line drives become hits. If you become a line drive hitter, you want to talk about batting average on balls in play. So Odor in July had a batting average on ball in play of 400, which is unsustainable for an entire year. But that was also the month he batted 343. The other months, he dropped back down to his normal batting average on ball in play. Well, when you hit line drives, you're going to have a much better batting average. If you can find a way to do that, and not just try to hit fly balls the entire time, it's better for you.
Gallo, one of the unluckiest players in baseball last year with expected... I hate even reading these things, but I know that they matter. Expected weighted on base average. Meanwhile...
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. His contact rates have started to tick up on pitches in the strike zone and outside the zone. His swinging strike rate has dropped every year of his career, so they have Gallo as a prime candidate to make the leap. What's your storyline for the preview?
Well, I'm interested in what this rotation is going to look like. You asked me before if I thought this rotation was better than last season. I think, like, if they stay healthy, the answer is unequivocally yes. The big question is, can they stay healthy? Now, they're relying on a
trio. What was the number of innings?
A trio of guys that combined to pitch, like, 40 innings?
16 innings. It was three
16.
Guys. 16 innings last
year. Edson, Volquez, Drew Smyly, and Shelby?
Shelby Miller. Drew Smyly hasn't pitched in 2 years.
Yeah, and all those guys are right now on paper slated to be a part of the Rangers rotation behind Mike Minor and Lance Lynn. There are a couple of other guys that could work their way into that conversation, perhaps. You know, Yohander Mendez, they're still trying to figure out what he's about. I don't think Zach McAllister, the relief pitcher that they signed from the Cleveland Indians, is going to do it. He's been basically a long reliever the last couple of years. And, you know, are they going to bring up their one pitching hope, and that's the guy they traded for either a season or two seasons ago when they got Taylor Hearn? Mm. Taylor Hearn is like the one pitching prospect hope that you could maybe see with the Major League club this year and feel good about, at least that I've read about. I know there are other prospects in the organization, but right now the pitching prospects are pretty slim.
They had the third worst team ERA last year in all of baseball. Only Kansas City and Baltimore were worse. So there is a chance, since you were that low last year, you can have a little bit better ERA. But, I mean,
there's a chance. Especially if the guys they brought in that didn't pitch last year more than 16 innings, like the Shelbys and the Smileys and the Volquez, even Lance Lynn. I mean, there's a chance that they can do better. I mean, let's face it. Shelby Miller was a stud prospect who had an arm injury. They've got a lot of guys who are high upside arm injury dudes that, if they work out, could perform well for him.
I'm most interested in this whole Banny change. You're going to have a hard time selling me on a lot of talent excitement. Yeah, I want to see if Gallo strikes out less. Yeah, I want to see if Odor is consistent and doesn't go through these crazy ex-girlfriend swings. Yeah, I want to see if Calhoun has lost some weight, whatever that does. But I'm not going to be all hyped up for any particular talent until you guys sell me on a prospect that's like must see. I want to know if these players had a legitimate gripe with Jeff Bannister's attitude and approach, or if they were a bunch of little crybabies who did not care that they were overachieving in the past three seasons for whatever it was with two division championships, and they just wah-wahed to Adrian Beltre or to John Daniels, and they ran Banny out. Like, I wanna hear and have enough off-the-record discussions to believe that Jeff Bannister's approach really held this team back and ticked off enough people, and that Chris Woodward coming on over from the Dodgers is some magical difference.
Well, they tuned out Wash.
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of Washington.
I never heard that.
I don't know, man. I never heard that extent either. He was getting criticized for all, like, you know, for in-game decisions. Wash was getting criticized a lot for that type of stuff. But I don't remember any players speaking out about tuning him out or
they
not being interested
quit
in Ron Washington.
On the season. That's well, tuning him out.
Which I mean,
season?
When he resigned.
He was on late. He was on like a couple weeks left. The last year where they were awful that year. They bring Banny in, and we're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This guy is tremendous. And then they tune him out. And then we're going to bring a new guy in. They're going to have it's going to be a good season from that regard because it's fresh and it's new.
Year one.
And then year two will be the same thing. And then we'll see the real 3-4 years down the road. So we're not going to be able to make a distinct judgment this year, this spring training, on whether or not he is a tremendous manager or not, or whether or not they respond to him and like him. Of course they're going to respond to him and like him. You respond to new managers all the time.
Yeah.
It's a new coach theory.
But I want to hear, so more so than judging Woodward's difference and impact is hearing about the Banny problem and how Jeff Bannister not being there is going to help that much. The impression that you get is Jeff Bannister talking to us on the radio is the guy that makes you want to run through the wall. And then the impression that you get is Jeff Bannister talking like that to the players made them roll their eyes. Now, I'm just giving it to you real. I know Banny listens, and he knows this.
Or over time, just ground them down.
Yes.
Like, they might have heard it at first, and then I think when you get the same rah-rah, the same pedal to the metal, as he explained in the Star Telegram writing, that, like, he should have approached it. And maybe that's how we judge this season, is how are the players reacting, especially if things aren't going well early. Like, is there sulking? Is there bad body language? Or are they still out there, like, having fun and trying to improve and working towards, you know, a future in 2020?
Right. So, let's see. You know, there's going to be more of an emphasis on analytics. Like, I know that we associated that with Banny, but
how? How is there going to be a more emphasis on analytics?
There's going to be more. I think that they... Yeah, I think Banny was a mix, you know. He's kind of like old school and analytics, but I think Woodward is even more into it.
Well, he may be more into it is the organization.
Yeah, I think the organization is too. I heard that.
Okay, because like, they have not been.
That's what's surprising, yeah. Though. Because you think of JD.
He's got a scouting background. Like, he's more, I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, you think of JD as this, I'm trying to think of a nicer way to say it, but I'll just say
he's the Ivy League kid.
He's a nerd with the calculator.
Yeah.
Right? What's John Daniels know about catching a freaking ball in the hole or, you know, running one down in right center? He doesn't. He's the nerd with the calculator who perception-wise, I think, at least it was to me, all numbers, all over top the analytics, but I feel like they have made an effort to be even more on top of them, and that surprised me that they weren't already.
Well, they've been lagging, you know, and they've needed to be more on top of them because there was a time where, you know, before the rest of Major League Baseball all became analytically inclined, they were much closer to the top. But now as the other teams have lapped them and they've gone ahead of them and they've gone further into the analytics than the Rangers have, the Rangers have kind of regress towards the middle of the pack or even further. So, yeah, it's something they need to do. The previous manager wanted to be analytic, wanted to do more, and they just didn't. Now maybe there's an organizational shift in philosophy.
All right, we are flying out on Sunday. The baseball coverage starts Monday morning from Surprise right here on The Fan tomorrow. the first game at 2 p.m.
And don't forget, we're going to also have the webcam available all week long for our spring training coverage, and you can check out our videos at 1053thefan.com.
All brought to you by Twin Peaks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.